Muhammad Ali was considered one of the greatest heavyweight boxers in life. But he also was known for being a great promoter. And oftentimes he would use poetry. And before his fight with Sonny Liston, he said, "I'm going to float like a butterfly, sting like a bee, but Sonny Liston's hands can't hit what they see." But he also used poetry to challenge others to do better. He once gave this message to a college audience in New York. He said, "Stay in college, get the knowledge. Stay there till you're through. If they can make penicillin out of moldy bread, they can sure make something out of you." This morning I'd like to look at a man that God made something out of. Not too many Christians may not exactly know who he was or what he did, but he was important to God, and God thinks it important. You should know who this hero is from the Old Testament and what he did. His name was Othniel. Now, the Hebrew has several definitions for what his name means. One is God is force. God, he is my strength. God has helped me. And the other one, the Lion of God. Turn with me to Judges, the third chapter. Judges chapter 3, verse 7. "And the sons of Israel did evil in the sight of Jehovah, and forgot Jehovah their God, and served Baal and the Asherahs. And the anger of God was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the land," and I practice this, "of Cushan-Rish-Atholim, king of Mesopotamia. And the sons of Israel served Cushan-Rish-Atholim. And when the sons of Israel cried to Jehovah, Jehovah raised up a deliverer to the sons of Israel, who delivered them, Othniel, the son of Caleb's younger brother, Kenaz. And the spirit of Jehovah came upon him, and he judged Israel and went out to war. And Jehovah delivered Cushan-Rish-Atholim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand, and he prevailed against Cushan-Rish-Atholim, and the land rested 40 years, and Othniel, the son of Kenaz, dead." Years before Othniel was born, his uncle Caleb did something that impressed God. You remember, he was a young man when Israel was held in slavery in Egypt. He was there when Moses challenged Pharaoh and Moses told Pharaoh, "Let my people go." He was there when God brought down the 10 plagues upon Egypt. He was there when God parted the Red Sea. He was there when that water collapsed upon the armies and destroyed the might of Egypt. Caleb was there when the people of Israel came to Mount Sinai, and he would have seen God come down with thunder and lightning and the terrifying sound of the trumpet of God. He was there when God brought Israel to the border of land he had promised to give to his people. At that time, Moses selected 12 men to go out and spy out the land and help him decide the best strategy for taking the land. Two of those spies were Joshua and Caleb. Now, Joshua and Caleb remember how God brought the plagues on Egypt, how he parted the Red Sea, how he showed his fearsome power at Mount Sinai, and how God was giving this land, and nothing could stop them. But the other 10 spies didn't see this. They saw exactly the same thing that Joshua and Caleb did. They saw the beauty, the splendor, and the wonder of the promised land. But these wonders were overshadowed by something else they saw. They saw the giants in the land, and as such, they saw defeat, disaster, and death. The spies were afraid, and their fear spread throughout all the people that were with Moses. And they became so frightened that they refused to obey God and refused to enter the promised land. Turn with me to Numbers, the 14th chapter. Numbers 14, beginning in verse 22. Because all those men who have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times and not listened to my words, surely they shall not see the land which I swore to their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. Your dead bodies shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, who have been murdered against me. And you shall surely not come into the promised land which I swore to make you live in, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. So we see here that all them died in the desert, except for these two men. These two men, Joshua and Caleb, were allowed to enter the promised land because they believed in God's promise about the promised land. 40 years later, Caleb enters the promised land at the age of 85. And Caleb was still convinced that God, if God promised something, that he would deliver. God would do it. Caleb is speaking to Joshua in Joshua the 14th chapter. He says, "And now give me the mountain of which Jehovah spoke on that day. For you heard in that day how the giants were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. If Jehovah will be with me, then I will be able to drive them out, as Jehovah said." God promised, Caleb believed. And at 85 years old, Caleb drove out the giants in that land. And Othniel was his nephew. So what's so special about Othniel? Let's read it again in Judges, the 3rd chapter. "And the sons of Israel did evil in the sight of Jehovah, forgot Jehovah their God, and served Baals and the Asherahs. And the anger of Jehovah was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the land of Cushan Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the sons of Israel served Cushan Rishathaim 8 years. And when the sons of Israel cried to Jehovah, Jehovah raised up a deliverer for the sons of Israel, who delivered them, Othniel, the son of Caleb's younger brother Kenaz." Now this occurs in the 14th century BCE. And archaeology confirms the action that Israel took against this king. Now Baal worship, just to remind you, Baal worship included temple prostitution, incest, drunken orgies, bestiality, and child sacrifice. Really terrible. The Asherahs refers to an ancient Semitic goddess associated with fertility and motherhood. They were identified by cultic wooden objects referred to as Asherah poles and frequently depicted as trees. And all through the book of Judges, it's the same story. It's like Israel never learned. The people sin. God punishes them by selling them into the hands of their enemies. The people repent and plead to God to forgive them. God raises up a judge and deliverer to save them. And Israel is at peace as long as that judge lives. Turn to Judges, the 2nd chapter. Judges chapter 2, beginning at verse 16. "And Jehovah raised up judges who saved them out of the hand of those that despoiled them. And yet they hearkened not unto their judges, for they played the harlot after other gods and bowed themselves down unto them. They turned aside quickly out of the way wherein their fathers walked, obeying the commandments of Jehovah, but they did not so. And when Jehovah raised up judges, then Jehovah was with the judge and saved them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented Jehovah because of their groaning, by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. But it came to pass when the judge was dead that they turned back and dealt more corruptly than their fathers, in following other gods to serve them, bow down unto them, and they cease not with their doings, nor from their stubborn way." So Othniel here, Othniel is the first judge of Israel. And you can think of a few reasons why. First off, he was a man of faith. He learned from Caleb how to have bold faith and how to live a courageous life. Caleb was a man of faith, but Caleb's faith wasn't in himself. It was not in his own strength, his cleverness, or his abilities. His faith was based on a God who would always be there for him. There was no challenge he wouldn't take on as long as God was by his side. As David wrote in Psalms, the 18th chapter, he said, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and horn of my salvation, my stronghold. And he is that still for us today. That's the kind of man or woman that God's looking for. He's looking for a Deborah, a Joseph, a David. He's looking for Caleb. He's looking for Othniel. He's looking for a person of faith. In the first chapter of Judges, we find that Caleb is asking for somebody to step up and take out an important city. Judges 1:12, you'd like to turn there. And Caleb said, "He that smites Kiriath Sepher and takes it, to him will I give Achshah, my daughter, to wife." And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took it, and he gave Achshah, his daughter, to wife. Now, nowhere in the book of Judges is recorded what Othniel said, only what he did. He was not a man of words. He was a man of action. Caleb throws down the challenge for someone to take the city. And Othniel just gets up and goes out and takes it. Why? Because of Caleb. Caleb trusts God and does mighty deeds. Othniel figures that he can do the same because he believes in God too. He has that faith. Now, we have the same promise as Christians that Caleb and Othniel had in their day. The same God who backed them is there to back us up as well. Paul wrote in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." Othniel was a man of faith because of the influence of Caleb and because of his faith in God Almighty. That's why fellowship with Christians is so important. We can gather strength when we surround ourselves with people of faith. Have you ever heard someone say that they can be just as good a Christian without going to worship? I don't believe it. We are encouraged to gather together where we can strengthen each other, where we can challenge each other to do greater deeds, where we can provoke each other into love and to good works, and to encourage one each time to come and gather with us so that we can draw strength from each other. The word for provoke is a Greek word called erethinzo, which means to stimulate or to spur. So that means when we come together, we're to spur each other to do good works. So Othniel was chosen to save Israel from their sins because he was a man of faith and a man of action. He had an active faith when God chose him. He was acting on that faith when he took the city for Caleb. God wanted a man, and Othniel was ready. Think about great heroes of Scripture, like Abraham, Joseph, David, and others. Many of the Bible's heroes were only known for one thing that they did. Perhaps they did many others, but we're not told of this. Noah, for example, what was he known for? He built an ark, he preached, and gathered creatures for the ark. But what he did was very important. Gideon was known for defeating the Midianites, defeating with just 300 men. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what are they known for? They refused to worship Nebuchadnezzar and thrown into a fiery furnace. We don't know if they did anything else of importance, but by this one display of their faith, it was significant. Then there's Andrew, one of the 12 apostles. What was he famous for? We know that he went and told his brother to come and see Jesus. And of course, Ananias is only known for baptizing Paul into Christ. Nothing else is said about him in Scripture. He's not mentioned before or after this. And I could go on and on about other great people of great faith, like them in Scripture. Many of them could be considered one-hit wonders, considering that's all we know about. They only know for one thing, but one thing was something that shaped the course of biblical history. But something else. God just didn't pluck them out of thin air. They had been training for years to be the kind of person they had become. A University of Connecticut professor wrote a book called Rescuers, Portraits of Holocaust Survivors, where he interviewed people who harbored fugitive Jews in their homes despite the danger to them and their families. And what he found was that many of these rescuers had a history of doing good deeds before the war, visiting people in the hospital, collecting books for poor students, taking care of stray animals. They just got in the habit of doing good. If they hadn't perceived that pattern as natural, they might have been paralyzed in action during the reign of the Germans. But they did what became natural. That's what God is looking for people who've got into the habit of being faithful to Him. 2 Corinthians 16:9 says, "The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him." God wants people of faith to use them for great things. That's why God chose Othniel. He was chosen to do what he did because God put him in that position. We know that the Spirit of Jehovah came upon him just like Gideon, Moses, and Samson, Nehemiah, and Joshua. Sometimes God puts us in the right place at the right time to do the right thing because he wants to prove something. Consider this about Othniel. First off, he's from the tribe of Judah. Jesus was from the tribe of Judah. His name means Lion of God. In Revelation 5:5, it says that, and one of the elders said unto him, "Weep not, behold, the Lion that is of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath overcome to open the book and the seventh seal thereof." So Jesus is referred to as the Lion of Judah. Othniel was chosen to be a rescuer of Israel, and he rescues his people from their sins. And Jesus was sent to rescue us, to save us from our sins. The bad guy in the story is named Cushan Rishathonya, who was the first oppressor of the Israelites after their settlement in the Promised Land. Now, aside from the fact it's hard to pronounce, it has a meaning, and it means doubly wicked blackness. Does that sound like somebody else we know? Doubly wicked blackness. Sounds like Satan? In Hebrews, the second chapter, if you'd like to look over there. Hebrews 2nd chapter, verse 14. "Since then the children are sharers of flesh and blood, he also himself in like manner partook of the same, that through death he might bring to naught with him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and might deliver all them who through fear and death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Most of you are probably aware of who General Stonewall Jackson is. Okay? We live down there close to where his got on the train. Jackson's army in the Stainless Valley campaign, his army had found himself on one side of the river where it needed to be on the other side. Kind of like the we talked about this morning with the Euphrates. After telling his engineers to build a bridge, to plan to build a bridge so that the army could cross, he called his wagon master together to tell him that it was urgent that the wagon train and the artillery cross the river as soon as possible. The wagon master started gathering all the logs, rocks, and fence rails he could to build a bridge. Long before the daylight, General Jackson was told by his wagon master that all the wagons and artillery had crossed the river. The general asked, "Where are the engineers, and what are they doing?" The wagon master's only reply was, "They were in the tent drawing up plans for a bridge." Othniel was a man whom God made something out of. He was a simple man who was willing to trust God, serve God, and be used by God. He was a man who God chose to lead Israel at the right time, at the right place, and the right reason. And that is what God is looking for you and you and me. God is looking for people who are willing to trust him, willing to serve him, willing to let him set them up to do something powerful. He's looking for someone he can use. So the question is, are you a person of action? Are you in the tent making up plans? Think on these things as we stand in the center.